Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton is with us this morning, and I know that you're disappointed by the results of the vote yesterday, but are you really surprised? Because this is not uncommon for school issues in Ohio to not be successful in their first go-around. It seems to be that's the way things usually go.
Yeah, we definitely had high hopes, and I'm very proud of the fact that we were out there sharing the facts with our community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that we had a good story to tell here in Findlay City Schools in terms of the transparency that the Board of Education has had with the way we spend the public dollar. And yeah, like you said, it was just a little disappointing, but the voters have spoken and we respect that.
So it brings up the question, because like we said, it's not uncommon for school measures to be unsuccessful in their first go around. A lot of times it becomes something of a negotiation where you analyze the results, you go back with another proposal and you know, ask the voters again and so on and so forth. It kind of becomes a back and forth. Is there a plan to take a look at this and put it before the voters again?
Well, yeah, today, you know, in the first day after the election, and I'm really glad that everybody exercised their right to vote. Today, we're going to stay focused on our staff and our kids, and the same tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because we want to keep our eye on what we are here to do, which is serve our children. Obviously, today, the treasurer, Pam Harrington, and I will be regrouping, and we will be speaking individually with our board members. And yes, it is about figuring out one step at a time the next steps that we need to take to make sure that we stay viable financially and continue to maintain the excellence that we have in Findlay City Schools.
What will that look like? It was reported heading into this that if the levy vote was unsuccessful, that there would be a near immediate result with cuts and measures to reduce operating costs. What will that look like moving forward?
Well, in the short term, it's going to look like conversations and reflection, like you said, and we want to listen and learn from our community. And we will work with our Board of Education on what those short-term steps are going to be. No decisions have been made, and we've been very clear about that with our staff and our community. But back in September, the board did take a careful look at likely decisions that would have to be made and adjustments that would have to be made to our budget. And so we will be, you know, taking a look at that, and we will have to look at some financial cuts that Pam and I would recommend to the board. And then it'll be up to the board as to when they enact those.
What kind of timeline will that? Will that be? Will those recommendations come at the next board meeting, or how soon would it be necessary to begin implementing some of these cuts?
Yeah, like I said, we're going to have to look at the short term cuts this week and next week, and I'm sure that the Board of Education will be talking about that at their November and December meetings. However, the longer-term cuts that were considered back in September, some of those might not take effect until the 2025 school year.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, we would owe it to our staff and our community to be communicating that out probably sometime right after the first of the year.
What would be the it's been reported that the district is already deficit spending, and that was one of the big points that you emphasized to voters in pitching this income tax levy. At what point does it get to, when do you get to the critical point with respect to that, or are you already there?
Well, no, we're not at the critical point yet. That's why the Board of Education decided to be on the ballot yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
to try and stay a step ahead of that. That's why when it starts to get critical is in that 25-26 school year, the next school year,
mm-hmm.
and then the two subsequent school years after that. And so that's why the first round of potential or likely cuts, financial adjustments that might need to be taken up by the Board of Education would be right around $5 million starting next year.
So from what I hear you saying, there's not necessarily a decision made on whether to go back to the voters and make this request again, maybe a modified request in some way, shape, or form. But you did reference, you know, analyzing the lessons and the feedback that you got from the community in making this plea. What are those messages? What do you take away from this, it just in the immediate aftermath?
Well, that's what we, I think, need to regroup on this week. And like I said, I think I don't want to speak for the Board of Education, but I think we're all interested in hearing from our community. I believe the difference between for and against was around 790 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to, which quite frankly is much closer than November of 2020, but we want to find out, you know, what can we adjust? What do we need to reflect upon? And then it will be up to the Board of Education to decide if they will want to be on the ballot again next spring or next fall. But the fact is, you know, like you said, we are looking at a looming deficit, and we've got to figure out how we can forge forward to serve our children.
We will leave it there for now. Again, Findlay City School Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton this morning with reaction to yesterday's unsuccessful vote in the district's income tax measure and what happens next. It is a story, obviously, that we will continue to follow as it plays itself out. Dr. Hatton, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Of course, Chris. Thanks again for having me on.